I'll do it after this one.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the award-winning ISIS Fuel and Refined Products Podcast for the Americas. This is Bobby Clark.
And Anna Mathern.
And we are the fuel and refined products experts for the U.S. Today we have two very special guests from the ISIS News Desk. Our ISIS Americas news editor, Jeremy Pafford, and our news reporter, Tracy Dang. They're here to give us kind of a take on, Sarah Week was last week, and they're here to give us their take on what they heard during the week-long industry event that took place right here in Houston. So, Jeremy, what did you think?
Bobby, it was really pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. BP is going full speed ahead and staking his claim to U.S. oil and gas development, and American energy in general, honestly. Its CEO, Bob Dudley, reaffirmed that at CERAWeek, noting that more than 20% of the company's daily oil equivalent production, about 675,000 barrels, comes from the U.S., and that the number should grow as the company develops more tight shale and deep water oil in the future. When politicians and economists point out how the shale boom has helped the U.S. economy reemerge from the recent recession, they're pointing to numbers such as this. Oil and gas employment in the country has risen 27% since 2008.
Yeah, and I think that's the main trend of CERAWeek was we've been seeing, you know, how amazing shale discoveries are, but what's going to happen for the next step in shale developments? And I think that's what everyone was really trying to focus on. Tracy, what did you hear?
Well, ExxonMobil Chemical CEO Stephen Pryor said that unconventional oil and natural gas is upending the supply economics and truly transforming the chemical business and other downstream industries. With record-breaking crude production and U.S. importing less crude oil, the U.S. policy debates have shifted from discussions from scarcity to American oil abundance. Many groups have estimated that real GDP in the U.S. will increase by 2 to 3% per year by the end of the decade, as a result of the high production of oil and gas, contributing about $600 billion for additional economic output.
So it'll be interesting to see what speakers at AFPM, the oil and gas conference, will discuss. One topic that was not explored at CERAWeek was, what will we do when all of these investments and projects come online around the same time? Will the U.S. even be able to handle the employment increases, and will there be ways to even transport or export the materials?
I think that's going to be real interesting because we've already had discussions about a lack of skilled labor for these refineries and for these plants already. And if you start building more plants as are planned, all these crackers, who's going to be able to work them? Who's going to be able to staff these places? Who's going to be able to even build them in a lot of aspects? That's a huge issue, and it might, you know, affect whether, you know, how quickly these things are built or even if they're built at all. Mm-hmm. So,
and I think that's one main thing. You know, all these investments happen, and that's great, and they're trying to look at the next step. And
well, I know some companies right now are talking about, you know, creating programs for existing workers out there, you know, getting the experienced workers as well as training new people that are in college and technical colleges. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how well those programs worked out and they can recruit.
They're going to have to do that quickly then, because a lot of these projects are going to, you know, a timeline of, you know, up and running by 2016, 2017, 2018. Mm-hmm. It's 2013 now. It's going to be, you know, 5 years. These things take time to build, and you can't, you know, it's not a build it and they will come. If you build it and they don't come, then you don't produce. And that's like, you know, you wasted a ton of money. So they have to know this. They have to be able to project out, say, okay, we've got the workforce. We've got the people to make this happen, and we're going to produce this product. You know, we can plan on making it happen.
Mm-hmm. Another thing at AFPM is that I'm looking forward to hearing about is what they're going to do with a lot of the extra supply that they have. You know, until they get these crackers built, I mean, production is going to keep going at a record pace. We're still going to get, you know, more oil, more NGLs coming out of the shales and everything like that. And I've already kind of, you know, from what we've seen on the agenda, they're going to talk about other markets for these products? Like, what, you know, where are they going to be? Is it going to be export related? Is it going to be domestic? Are we going to, are they going to have new markets for these places? Like, you know, what the specifics of all that is going to be interesting.
One word, exports, yeah. Which is a huge debate right now.
Exports is big right now. You know, people don't want, the people on the chemical side would like to export the ethylene and propylene, but you know, those guys that are pulling that stuff out of the ground, they want
to export.
They want to export that. And also another thing is that a lot of these natural gas processors built import terminals because just a handful of years ago, the U.S. was going to be short. They're going to bring natural gas.
Natural gas was $12 or something. Yeah. And everybody with the, you know, doom and gloom, we're going to have to import a lot of this stuff. Let's build these import terminals. And then, you know, shale gas boom occurs, and we've got all these import terminals that we don't need, so let's turn them into exports.
Well, we're not going to completely stop with the imports because, you know, we get imports from other countries, and you want to maintain those relationships with them. And so a lot of people think that being energy independent means, you know, being sustainable in your own products, but you have to maintain the relationships with other countries,
Yeah, totally. I mean, you may not need grandma's fruitcake, but you're still going to take it. You ain't going to make grandma mad.
Exactly. So
stay tuned for our next Fuel and Refined Products podcast after we sit on some of these AFPM sessions.
AFPM also, by the way, is going to start on March the 16th and runs through the 18th. This is the AFPM, the oil and gas.
Right, also known as their annual meeting.
I believe it's the 17th through the 19th, isn't that correct?
Is that what it is?
17th being Sunday?
17th through the 19th, but they do have some events. We're going to be up there a day early to talk to sources and attend a few industry events. So if any of our listeners are out there and you know who we are,
find us. We'll get you in on our next podcast.
Don't forget, award-winning.
That's right. So with that said, thanks for listening to another edition of the award-winning ISIS Fuel and Refined Products Podcast for the Americas. Once again, this is Bobby Clark.
And Anna Mathern.